Welcome to the Real Docs Podcast. Hosted by Dr. Britt Lesher and Dr. Lisa John. Tune in every Wednesdays for new episodes. This podcast does not act as medical advice and should not be used as a substitute for medical care. Please contact your healthcare professional for questions regarding your health.
Hello, and welcome back to the Real Docs Podcast. We're your hosts, Dr. Britt Lesher.
And I'm Dr. Lisa John.
And we are on season 2, episode 7. And today we're going to be talking about vitamin D, all things vitamin D, the super, super, super important vitamin, how we get it naturally, where we can get it in food sources, what is it used for, how should you supplement, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This one is probably our first like nutrient that we're doing a full episode on because there's so many different vitamins and minerals and nutrients that our body needs. But I think one thing that has been shown over and over and over in the research and the literature is that vitamin D is super important for preventing many different types of diseases. And so I think it's important for us to kind of break down all of that information for you so that you have the best kind of info going forward regarding vitamin D and how you should be supplementing and all of that.
For a lot of people who aren't in the medical background or maybe know much about the science behind vitamin D, you hear a lot about vitamin D from the sun, vitamin from your skin, all that kind of sort of stuff. So how vitamin D is made is there's a form of cholesterol that is in our body. When your body is basically in contact with the UV rays from the sun, that compound basically gets made and starts the vitamin D synthesis, or basically making up of the vitamin D within our body. So that's kind of where the whole phrase or saying of like vitamin D from the sun, the sun ray, UV rays, yada, 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 yada. The other organs that are important that is involved with vitamin D is your liver and kidney. So keep that in mind. But technically that first step of the process from the sun on your skin.
Yeah, and there's a whole bunch of like nuances to that too. So a lot of times when I was working in the Pacific Northwest, I would tell people that based on the literature and like where we are located in the Pacific Northwest, near to the we're very far from the equator, you know, it's harder for us to absorb vitamin D from the sun. So even the recommendation now is like you kind of have to be closer to like Atlanta even or below in order to get adequate levels of vitamin D solely from the sun. And in order for you to do that, you actually have to be like pretty much butt naked. Yeah. In order for all of that skin to soak up the vitamin D. So that's one of those things in practice that I was like, look, we live very far from the equator. We don't see sun 90% of the year, right? Even when there is sun out, what are we doing? We're inside the house, right? We're inside protected. And so it's important for you to be mindful of that and to supplement with active forms because like Dr. Lisa was saying, there's an activation process that happens once you take in that vitamin D.
Anybody who lives in Ecuador, you're at the most optimal place to be at for vitamin D.
Something that we have mentioned about in previous episodes, because obviously this season we've talked about like sun and skin health and sun protection and things like that. But we've also brought up vitamin D in multiple different episodes that like I remember the fatigue one. We talked about how vitamin D deficiency can lead to feelings of fatigue or low mood, right? And so oftentimes a lot of the diseases associated with vitamin D deficiency can be different from what you would originally think. Like a lot of people will think, okay, vitamin D is for your bones, it's for your skin health, it's for your brain, but they don't necessarily think about all of the other systems that are affected by vitamin D.
What's also really important about vitamin D that I think a lot of people don't realize, right? Because there's also a lot of talks about deficiency, and we'll get into that in terms of what the risks are for people with vitamin D deficiency. But something that doesn't get talked about a lot is too much vitamin D or vitamin D toxicity or a condition known as hypervitaminosis D. And that basically is really within the name. It's vitamin D toxicity. And the reason why is, you know, compared to a lot of the vitamins, like the B vitamins, C, vitamin D is fat soluble. So when you have too much vitamin D that's going in your system, it can actually deposit and build up in your adipose tissue, so your fat tissues. And it can actually be detrimental to your health than good sometimes. So, you know, another reason why, obviously, we endorse testing your vitamin D level as a baseline and supplementing accordingly, but also important to follow up on these testings to see, okay, are your levels holding or is your vitamin D through the chart? Because some of these symptoms of too much vitamin D can be, you know, funny enough, fatigue, weakness, right, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, kidney issues, along with kidney issues, a lot of like frequent urination, too much urination, being really thirsty because you're peeing too much, you know, a lot of these things that can also result in, you know, bone pain, decrease in your bone density too. Mm-hmm. So a little plug to making sure that if you're taking vitamin D, make sure you're doing it safely.
We want to get a baseline level of vitamin D. Most of the time, I would say probably 80%, 80 to 85% of the time, what I've seen in practice is a deficiency or insufficiency. And there are like different reference ranges for that. And then what we then go and do from that point is we take your body weight in kilograms, and then we do a calculation based on what your current levels are and where we want you to be, and then essentially divide that over the course of like, say, 60 days as like a replenishment dose. And that's how much vitamin D you'll want to take in a day. And you can definitely, like, because it's fat soluble, you don't necessarily have to take it every single day, but you can like dose it weekly or every other day. But either way, you want to get a healthcare professional to do an adequate calculation on that to so that you know specifically how much to take. And then from there, you know, making sure that you're doing follow-up testing, then going back and making sure, okay, are your levels rising? Are they rising at a healthy rate?
Just because it's a vitamin, just because it's a supplement, just because it's something natural does not always mean it does not come with a risk. Maybe we can kind of go into the deficiency end of things, because I feel like most times, like you said, most people, even in Southern California, even though we're mostly in the sun and it's sunny, still most people are staying inside, indoors. But a lot of people are deficient out here too. And some things to consider, because there are some risk factors out there that put you more at risk of being vitamin D deficient. Not being outdoors, not being exposed to the sunlight, UV rays, that kind of sort of stuff. Also, something that we mentioned, I think, in the sunscreen episode is if you are someone who have more pigment in your skin, so darker skin tone folks, we are also more at risk of being vitamin D deficient. Unless you're fair skin, pretty much fit into that category.
Right.
You know, things like if you have kidney issues, liver issues, remember how we mentioned earlier that those organs are also involved in that vitamin D pathway. So if you have issues with those organs, it's not really happening for you. Being malnutritious.
One thing that I have been seeing more and more of people talking about, even mainstream, is that, okay, if I take a vitamin D supplement, I need to make sure I take a magnesium supplement too, because magnesium is involved in a lot of those, like the activation process of vitamin D in the kidney and in the liver. And oftentimes, if someone is malnutrition or they're even just magnesium deficient, which is another big one that a lot of people are, it is beneficial to use magnesium in addition to vitamin D in order to make sure that you're, it helps with the receptors, that it helps with the activation process of you actually turning that vitamin D from the sun or from your food sources into actual active vitamin D that then can be used for all throughout the body for different mechanisms.
Kind of going back to the magnesium end of things, we also have to remember vitamin D is something that helps to regulate calcium within our body. Now, anytime we also think about calcium, magnesium kind of goes hand in hand, right? Because they kind of have this balancing act with relationship within with each other. So that makes sense too, you know, in terms of making sure that that's being in balance. We always learned also calcium is something that gets very tightly controlled within our body, because too much calcium can also impact your heart along with muscles and all that sort of stuff. So really even more important that, you know, if you're taking vitamin D, you know, you might want to also be on a good multivitamin that kind of helps to balance those things out. Some other bone stuff too, osteoporosis, definitely, even like for children, like rickets or like osteomalacia, or even just like, I feel like growing pain, to be honest.
Yeah. So I had posted recently, just because I subscribe to like Medscape, and usually Medscape has like a bunch of articles, usually written by an MD or PhD or somebody in the conventional health kind of sphere. And they usually will like write an article summarizing recent research that has been released, and or like sometimes when they come together, when doctors come together and make a committee to prepare guidelines for standards of care. So this is a group of doctors who are coming together and looking at research so that they can put together a list of recommendations for other doctors to follow, aka for us to be aware of too, because we're in the healthcare field. Well, there was a recent article that came out, and it was a committee that was created by endocrinologists regarding the recommendation for screening for vitamin D. So screening versus, like, I guess, diagnosing or testing.
I remember.
Essentially, what they were saying is don't screen for vitamin D. If you have a healthy individual coming into your office for, say, like an annual exam, you do not want to test their vitamin D, because there's not enough concrete evidence to show that it is supportive to their overall health. And I was like flabbergasted. They did say that we should be saving the vitamin D screening for people in specific populations. I think one of the populations were like elder adults or geriatric patients who are like 75 years old. I can't imagine going 75 years without knowing what my vitamin D level is. Pregnant individuals, and then children. And I was so hesitant to just be like, what the actual F. And also I feel like despite that recommendation, I'm still going to be screening people. I'm sorry. It's kind of ridiculous, but it's just sad because that article people will read and then they will be taking it as, you know, their standard of care guideline or whatever it is. And then so many people are going to fly under the radar of being vitamin D deficient. And even though the article says like, we don't have enough concrete evidence, but we're still going to make it, we're going to make the recommendation to just avoid screening. I'm like, that is such a backwards way of thinking about it. Like, because we don't have specific evidence that you're looking for, we're going to make this recommendation that's going to affect millions of people and how thousands of providers are practicing.
Wow. Honestly, I read Medscape articles, but I always take it with a grain of salt because, and generally speaking, most of the time it's like such a backward and or conservative guidelines that they talk about. Like, one of the risk factors of someone being vitamin D deficient is being 65 years old or plus. But they're saying 75 plus. Yeah. So
wait 10 more years.
Even then, even when you're 65, wait 10 more years. Like, I don't know. That seems so freaking backward.
Yeah, I read it as like, we don't know. The literature is kind of, the jury's out on the literature. So just to be on the safe side, let's just ignore it until you're old, sick, and pregnant. And I'm like,
and
that
or pregnant.
And or pregnant. Because that is like seriously the, not the proactive or preventative approach, right, that our healthcare system in America takes. We like to take a very reactive approach in the conventional fields, right, where it's like, let's wait till things are bad in order for you to get tested for vitamin D deficiency. But there is a lot of robust literature around vitamin D and morbidity and mortality, meaning sickness and death. So if you're vitamin D deficient, you have a higher likelihood of becoming sick or dying, right? So I think that's something to keep in mind and why it's so important that people go to their providers and say, I need my vitamin D levels tested and I need to know how much vitamin D I should be taking. And if your provider gaslights you or ignores you, then you go and find another provider.
You know, what's really interesting is that like vitamin D is notorious for either not being covered by insurance or being rejected by insurance, or a lot of times most practitioners will just say, no, you don't have these diseases. You don't have these conditions. We don't need to run it. And like you said, it's a very reactive, backward system. I don't know. Don't you want to know so that you're actually preventing people from getting sick or being, you know, if they're being more at risk of developing certain conditions and whatnot? Like, I don't know. Like, it's such a, let's not do anything until crap hits the fan.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I feel like it makes sense why a lot of people are vitamin D deficient. Obviously, we talked about how like we get it from, most of it is supposed to be coming from the sun. And just because of our lifestyles now, we don't get enough vitamin D. And so it makes sense that we should be testing for it. And oftentimes, you know, symptoms of vitamin D deficiency, a lot of times people will think that, you know, their symptoms are being caused by something else, but there are a lot of symptoms of vitamin D deficiency that a lot of people are dealing with and they don't know. And then we test their vitamin D and the reference range is usually like 30 to 100 nanograms per deciliter. People are like 15, 14, 10. Like, that is ridiculous. I actually think it was group of like PhD. So they were doing research on like the data out there regarding vitamin D and preventing illnesses. And it was kind of a chart that they made, which we can insert here. I mean, if you're an audio listener, you're going to have to go look at our YouTube for that information, or maybe we'll post it on our social media. But they put together a really nice, helpful graph that I like to use in practice to kind of show people, like, based on the literature that is out there, here are the studied vitamin D levels that either prevent or have been correlated with a lesser risk of developing that condition. And so it actually, you know, with the bar graph, you can kind of see where most of the prevention can happen if your vitamin D levels are in between that like 40, 50, or even 60 range, for many different kinds of things like heart disease, high blood pressure, not only like osteoporosis, but like cancer, breast yeah. cancer, colon cancer, all of these types of things. So yeah, bottom line, if we haven't said it enough, go get your vitamin D checked. Yeah.
Before we get into kind of like the deficiency and the different risk factors when it comes to certain conditions, certain system of our body and things like that, one thing I want to kind of like finish off with the medical system, right? Some things that a lot of people don't realize, and maybe even these practitioners too, is that there are certain medications that people get put on that impact your absorption of vitamin D that puts you at risk of being vitamin D deficient. So keep that in mind. Now, that kind of goes with so many different things, whether it's different vitamins with different medication, yada, yada, yada. But if you're on any sort of like antacids or PPIs or proton pump inhibitors, if you're on any sort of steroids, if you're on any sort of seizure medications, laxatives, cholestyramine, which, you know, most oftentimes gets used within cholesterol management, or even a medication called Ally, which people use pretty commonly for like weight loss and whatnot. Like, these already put you at risk of being vitamin D deficient if you're on these medications. So, you know, not to go aha in these conventional medical practitioners or the committee or whatever space, but you can't really argue for not testing vitamin D if you are putting people at risk or not really addressing their conditions that put them already at risk of being vitamin D deficient. Just FYI.
Even from the response to that article. Thank goodness a lot of providers, MDs included, were responding and commenting on that article being like, I'm not going to follow this or like, what the heck are they talking about kind of thing. But I was like, it's a really good thing that we as naturopathic doctors exist, because this is like our bread and butter is nutrient deficiencies related to medications, right? So vitamin D, like Dr. Lisa was saying, can be deficient because of the things that you're currently taking or doing. So I think having a provider that is trained in order to test adequately and be able to prescribe a nutrient or a vitamin and also give you dosage and also be able to tell you like, here's the plan for how we're going to manage this and follow up and things like that is really what you need in your corner in order to like make sure that you're staying on top of that.
Hey y'all, Dr. Lisa here. So since we filmed this episode till now, there's actually a new Medscape article that basically criticizes the article that we were talking about that came out a couple months ago. So it's a good sign. A lot of providers are not very happy with that first article.
We talk about food sources.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh.
Or how to get vitamin D other than supplementation.
Yeah.
And sunlight.
So there's many, well, I guess I should say there's kind of two forms of the vitamin D. Most of the time, vitamin D2, so we talked about active forms and inactive forms. Vitamin D2 is mostly found in kind of like the like plants and mushrooms. I actually saw this TikTok of someone saying, in order to get more vitamin D into your mushrooms, you like cut them up and you put them out in the sun. I don't know, but I just thought it was really funny. It was like a nutritionist or something. She's like, if you chop your mushrooms up and you go put them outside, they'll soak up more vitamin D. It's not vetted, but I just saw that as very interesting and funny. And then animal sources, right? So animal meat, even like fortified foods that we have.
Fortified foods.
So a lot of times, like, you know, they put the vitamin D into it. Usually dairy sources will contain vitamin D.
Yeah. And for you non dairy folks like me,
yep.
There are vitamin D that is now being enriched and fortified in plant milks as well. So yay.
Yay.
I feel like, yeah, cereal or like, you know, grains and breads that are out there are usually enriched with vitamin D. Can't remember if you mentioned this already, but like fatty fish, you know, salmon,
yeah,
tuna, sardines, you know, cod,
mackerel,
liver oil, yeah, mackerel, egg yolk, another good one. But yeah, I honestly, you know, this kind of goes hand in hand, right? Of like, if you have also any sort of digestive issues, guess what? Might not be absorbing that vitamin D very well either. So if it isn't really ingrained in your head already, whole body health, addressing your entire body, entire system is very, very important when it comes to wanting to optimize your health or your vitamins or mineral levels, because guess what? We absorb these good stuff from our foods, and we should be absorbing from
right.
our foods.
Exactly.
Anything else?
I think we covered everything. I can't think of anything else.
One thing I want to mention, because this was something that I learned in residency, and I'm sure you probably have too, in terms of sometimes I have patients also asking about this in terms of vitamin D supplementation. Mm. When it comes to supplementation, should someone take it with vitamin K2? And I've always learned, yes, you optimally want to take it with K2. Now, I always tell my patients, no matter what we're working on, I want them to get as much as possible from like food sources, right?
Right.
But if we are doing vitamin D supplementation, almost always I do want some sort of K2, either with the formula of vitamin D or within their multivitamin and things like that, because K2 basically helps to direct vitamin D to go into the places that we want them to be absorbed and where it wants to act, rather than when it's vitamin D3 alone. Sometimes with that calcium regulation, it can get pretty, a little bit out of hand.
Right. Yeah. One other thing about supplementation that I like to talk to patients about too is the differences between like capsules, tablets, or liquid. I personally prefer the liquid just because I find that it's easier for most people to take versus, like, say if you're deficient and you're going to need to take a robust dose, I'd rather, like, control it dose form and, like, drops per day versus, like, how many capsules, because there's so many people out there taking so many different things and they have their bag of pills even though they're natural or vitamins and things like that. So that's just another plug too of asking your provider about other options or forms of taking some of these things, because sometimes they could be better absorbed in your body if they're in the liquid form versus capsule or tablet form, or just easier for you to remember to take, honestly, because sometimes I actually also have a chocolate chewable one that I was taking for a little bit of time. It tastes like cocoa. But for people who are, like, younger and don't like to take capsules and swallowing and things like that.
Sorry, I just have trauma with the flavor, because I used to take it too.
Yeah. It has, like, a cocoa. It has a very distinct, like, cocoa flavored taste. But for a lot of the patients who, like, are vitamin D deficient and they hate taking pills, those people, I will recommend the chocolate chewable form, because it's like a fun little treat that you can take during the day. But I did switch off to a liquid too, because the cocoa every day can get a little bit much, especially if you're taking it for years on end. So yeah, I totally get that.
I like the soft gels because it's, like, suspended in oil, but like most times it's, like, yay big.
Pretty small.
Yeah, pretty small compared to, like, a lot of the capsules. Mm-hmm. I used to take liquid ones, and this is probably my, I don't want to call it trauma, but just bad experience with a certain brand of liquid vitamin D. Uh-huh. It just, like, because it was, like, suspended in coconut oil, I think it just started messing with the cap, with the dropper. So the cap ended up coming completely off. So it was just, like, an exposed, like,
interesting
bottle. But I think that was just quality
control,
like, packaging sort of a thing.
Because if I'm thinking of the one you're thinking of, I'd take that one. Find out what works best for you. Obviously, we as providers have our preferences. You may have your preference as a patient. So find out what works best for you and find a provider that you can work with to, like, find the best fit for you.
Sometimes you can get your provider to prescribe you vitamin D to your pharmacy. So just FYI.
So we have a lot of really great episodes still coming up. So make sure to subscribe to our YouTube, follow us on Instagram. And we also have a fun little TikTok if you want to see some videos on there. And come back for more. All right, guys, be real.
And stay well.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Real Docs Podcast. Don't forget to like and share this episode and follow us on our social media pages. Tune in every Wednesday for more episodes.